that it would be prudent to increase the threat level, not to the highest level, but you've revamped it in a way that I believe makes sense, but to acknowledge that we are in a situation where we are at risk. And so I'm curious why, given Michael Leiter's comments, his public comments, given the fact that we've yet to do a full exploitation of the materials from the compound, and given the fact that we're still doing an assessment of the reaction to Osama bin Laden's death, we're not taking what to me would be a prudent step of increasing the threat level.
Well, Senator, I think we're always asking people to be alert. We are providing additional intel products into the law enforcement community and to the private sector so they can take whatever actions they deem prudent. We are constantly evaluating whether we should issue a special advisory, and NCTC is part of that group that makes that recommendation. So on an ongoing basis now, it may come to a point where we say, in this area, for this, we are going to issue an elevated alert. But I think we want to be careful here. We don't want to say because we suspect, and reasonably so, that there at some point there may be retaliation, that we go ahead and put the nation into an alert status without more information than we currently have. That could change. It could change tonight. It could change tomorrow. But the whole idea behind the new system is to say, look, we're always on alert. We're always facing risk. The threat of terrorism is always with us. And we're never going to be without it. Even with the death of bin Laden, we have other members of Al-Qaeda. We have AQAP. We have AQIM. We have Al-Shabaab. And that doesn't even count the homegrowns, who we are quite concerned about, just from a lone wolf standpoint in particular. But that doesn't mean that under the new criteria, we issue an elevated threat now. As intel comes in, as things are digested, and that is happening on a real-time, seamless basis, that may very well be adjusted. But I think for the nation to keep paying attention to these alerts, we want to really make sure they're tied to something that's specific.
I appreciate your explanation of the process. From my perspective, it just still seems prudent to temporarily at least elevate the threat level until the assessment is completed, but I understand your point. You have mentioned just now and earlier the threat of a lone wolf attack, and as you know, this is an issue that this committee's devoted countless hearings over the past few years. And as part of our Fort Hood investigation and report, we called upon the administration to create a strategy to ensure a unity of effort among federal departments and agencies, and the development of a specific strategy to counter radicalization within our country. Since if you look at the plots over the last 2 years, they have largely been domestic plots by people who have been inspired by Al-Qaeda, but not in most cases directly linked to Al-Qaeda. And I would appreciate this morning an update on the development of those federal strategies to counter domestic radicalization and to ensure a coordinated effort.
Yes. We have looked at this from what do we do to prevent somebody who has been radicalized to successfully carrying out an act of violence. And we have concluded that the best way for us to intervene is to support through grants and other programs, local police in kind of neighborhood policing strategies that reach out to the community in the same way that we dealt with gang violence in, during the crack epidemic, where we really focused on police on the street who intimately knew the neighborhoods, the neighborhood knew them. You developed that flow of information because there was an underlying foundation of trust. And the Department of Justice and the COPS program has also worked on that. So out of that conclusion, we said, well, we should have a curriculum that really focuses on what are the tactics, the techniques, the behaviors that indicate that somebody has become radicalized and radicalized to the point of violence. So working with police across the country, we developed a training curriculum. We have beta tested it already at FLETC. We are putting people through it now. There's a curriculum at FLETC, and then there is a training module that can be used in a remote at home, so that you don't have to travel to FLETC. So that is ongoing as well, and we continue to look for other ways. But we're really going to focus on what is the local law and how can we empower local law enforcement in particular to prevent a lone wolf from being successful.
Thank you. Let me just say that I was very pleased to hear you mention the See Something, Say Something campaign. The chairman and I had to work so hard to get that through when it came to the transportation sector. And without the chairman's willingness to stand up against me on his own side of the aisle, we never would have. So I hope your comments mean that you will endorse the broader bill that the chairman and I have introduced, which would provide immunity from civil lawsuits to individuals who in good faith report suspicious activity to the authorities. They would not be protected if they were not in good faith, because right now the law that we wrote only applies to the transportation sector.
I'd be happy to look at that, Senator.
Thank you.
And if I see something, I'll say something.
I only supported Senator Collins' proposal because it happens to be right. Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Chairman.